And finally on our show today, last week an unusual gathering of scientists and hackers met at the University of Pennsylvania. This was not the first time such a group had met, and they were tasked with retrieving and preserving climate data from government web pages before the Donald Trump administration tore it all down. Their predictive action was not in vain either. After the inauguration, the new whitehouse.gov website reflects notable absences. Dr. Bethany Wiggin is director of the Program in Environmental Humanities at the university and has been heavily involved in this activism meets data recovery. I spoke to her and began by asking what led to all of this.
95 BFM. It's pretty well documented that internet materials are not really very stable and are susceptible to kind of what is often called link rot. So you might click on a URL and get a message that says page not found. And there's a project that's been working to make sure that U.S. federal materials get archived so that you can still find the pages. And that project is called the End of Term Harvest, and it's in collaboration with the Internet Archive. So we knew about what they were doing, and we knew, you know, like that they had been on the last three presidential transitions, you know, from Bush to Obama, and then from Obama's first term to second term, that they had been archiving federal websites that, because of changing priorities with each new administration, these websites were not maintained, and thus the links were rotting, or had rotted. And I called the director of End of Term Harvest, and I said, hey, are you expecting that you might need help because the transition to the Trump administration is probably, we're going to lose a lot more federal websites. They won't be maintained, and the need for archiving materials, particularly around climate and environment, seemed really urgent. And Mark said, yeah, definitely we need some help. And it's kind of spiraled from there, where more and more people are getting involved. And so we tried to build a structure that allowed these efforts to preserve climate, federal climate and environmental data to be shared and carried by a whole bunch of institutions and libraries really across the country and internationally.
And so despite obviously there was a precedent for this kind of action with previous presidencies and transitions, but what specifically about Trump gave you guys such cause for alarm?
Well, I think what is alarming is that how uncertain the situation is, you know, that there are some days where the new administration seems to acknowledge climate change. The Rex Tillerson has gone on the record to say that, you know, he understands that climate change is in fact happening. But then there are other days when climate change is referred to as a Chinese hoax. And what that means is that we don't know what's going to happen. And so we think that making these extra copies that are still research quality copies of these public materials is just like an insurance policy. There's a basic data management principle, which goes under the great acronym LOCKS, and it just stands for lots of copies, keep stuff safe.
Right. And after the inauguration of Donald Trump, the new website obviously is completely void of references to climate change, other than his, publishing his vow to destroy the climate action plan, which Obama had in place. Did this surprise you at all?
No, we weren't surprised when we launched the project. I mean, sorry to be so,
No, fair enough.
We were shocked and horrified, but certainly wished it hadn't happened. You know, like we think the materials that were on the old whitehouse.gov pages were really valuable resources for a lot of people who wanted to learn about the Paris Agreement and the climate action plan that had been, you know, that is still in effect. But those materials still exist. I want to be really clear. They haven't been deleted. They're just not available via whitehouse.gov. Those materials are in the Obama archive. And so you can find them, but you can't find them via the White House.
Right. And I guess what then happens with these materials if they aren't being used by the White House? Do you hope a team of independent scientists are going to step up and do what previously the government's job was to do, or?
I think it probably won't be scientists who do it. I mean, although in some cases it will be. You know, we have participants in the Data Refuge Project who have been downloading for like 6 weeks straight, you know, just downloading 24 hours a day for 6 weeks. The data sets that they need for their research. But really, what probably needs to happen, who will step up are the big United States and world research libraries. And we're trying to build a very important, so I mentioned at the beginning that I direct the Environmental Humanities Program. The Data Refuge Project is a cooperation between that program and the Penn Libraries. And the University of Pennsylvania Libraries are one of the world's great research libraries. We're at an Ivy League institution, but there are a lot of research libraries who can step up to this, and we are building these conversations, building on some existing conversations about the ways that research libraries can help support archiving federal materials and expanding the existing depository system. And that's I mentioned the acronym LOCKS already. That's a project that's been developed via James Jacobs at Stanford Libraries, and, you know, we're talking with them, and we're talking with, I already mentioned, End of Term Harvest. Mark Phillips is a librarian at the University of North Texas, which is a fairly large federal depository library. So there's a lot of people in a lot of places who are really, University of Michigan is another great example of great collaborators there in the Data Refuge Project, and Indiana University, Purdue University, Indiana is another great, they have a great library school and a great iSchool. And so these are all examples of places that are Penn State University, another one, where science librarians and digital scholarship librarians are thinking together with the directors of these libraries to say, how can we fill in the void here?
Overall, how much do you think this could set back climate change and action against it?
Well, it depends on a couple of things. First of all, it depends on how much change to federal materials there will be. I think, the much more perhaps concerning question is whether research programs will be defunded over time. And those are programs, I'm particularly thinking of the work that NASA does. NASA, although it's the National Air and Space Administration, has a huge mission to Earth. And all of those, the buoys in the oceans that are constantly, monitoring ocean temperature and acidification, and if those programs are targeted, as it seems that they very well might be, I'm much more concerned about that as a setback for climate research. I think what I'm really nervous about, and what all of the people in the Data Refuge Project are really concerned about, is a combination of short-term, like, are links just going to be, cut so that climate materials are unavailable for educators who are trying to educate school kids, or health professionals who are trying to advise there are patients whether or not, you know, if they should go outside today because the air quality is bad. But then there are, you know, there's immediate pieces that everyone is quite concerned about. And then there's the longer term pieces, of course, that as programs are targeted or not maintained as priorities for this administration, that naturally they're, you know, without resources, these programs can't function.
That was Bethany Wiggin from the University of Pennsylvania speaking to us.